You can go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 5. We'll be there in just a few minutes. As you can see this morning, we're going to talk about dancing. It is a subject that people, including brethren, have very strong feelings about. So what I want us to do is carefully consider it. You may have strong feelings about this subject. So let's look at it. Let's look at it honestly and just see what Scripture shows us and look at it logically and wisely. Some will say that all types of dancing are sinful. I don't believe that. I have seen my girls stand in front of a television set when their favorite cartoon theme song comes on and they start jumping and bouncing and they just look like tops going off. I don't believe there's anything in the world wrong with that. I grew up in the 80s and there was a time when a lot of people started getting side-by-side refrigerators. And my parents did. They were excited about that. We were excited about the cardboard box that it came in. Because we took it and laid it down and we would break dance on it. And you can laugh all you want to, but we loved it. We would spin on our backs. Some of them would spin on their heads. There wasn't anything sensual at all going on there. It was dangerous, but there wasn't anything sexualized about it at all. I have seen some amazing tap dancers that just blew my mind with what they did. I have seen football players do the goofiest little dances when they score touchdowns that weren't sensual. I don't think anybody's lusting after that. But those things, those examples, those expressions, I don't believe that they violated anything in that. We're going to look at some Bible examples this morning where dancing was acceptable. Now others will try to go in the opposite direction and pretty much defend any kind of dancing, basically saying that it's all perfectly acceptable. Can dancing ever be wrong? It can. I believe that very clearly it can. If it provokes feelings of lust in those who have no right to act on those feelings, it is wrong, and I'm going to go farther than that. It is sinful. If it causes someone who has no right to act on those feelings to lust, it's dangerous. And it is something that we should shy away from. Now, this is called lasciviousness, or lewdness, depending on your translation. Same idea there. Unbridled lust, indecent body movements, the unchaste handling of males and females. This is Thayer's definition. Just to put a modern definition with it, this is dictionary.com. Inclined to lustfulness, arousing sexual desire. That's lasciviousness or lewdness. Paul is clear that that is a work of the flesh in Galatians 5 verse 19. We've seen that plenty of times. So again, if it provokes feelings of lust in those who have no right to act on them, then it would be wrong. This topic is going to require spiritual maturity on your part and mine. I just need to be honest. Put everything else aside and just look at it with honest eyes and see what is there. Hebrews, I mentioned to you earlier, Hebrews chapter 5 verse 14. This is the way everything is. As we grow in faith, we need to be able to look at things honestly and with mature sensibilities as Christians. Solitude belongs to those who are of full age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. It takes time, and it takes experience, and it takes mature spiritual growth. But we can decide, we can look at things and see if they're right or wrong. To determine whether or not a particular type of dancing is acceptable, it's going to require some honesty. And I think these questions will help. Could this behavior cause somebody else to stumble spiritually? And by the way, these aren't appropriate just for this topic. I should be asking these questions about a lot of different things that could come up in my life. Could this behavior cause someone else to stumble spiritually? Could this, and we're talking about dancing, could it be seen by anyone as being sensual, wherein it would be a problem? Could it harm my godly influence on others? So questions, fair questions, I think, that we should ask about this and really anything else. Some Christians are mature in some ways. And then when it comes to other topics, they just completely don't act maturely. They just sort of ignore mature things. Let's strive to be mature in every single way that we can. Let's start off by looking at dancing in the Scriptures. Different instances of dancing are mentioned in the Bible. They're performed in praise to God for things that He's done. We've got some definitions of the Hebrew words for dancing. To twist or whirl in a circular or spiral manner. This is what the girls did in front of the television set. To stomp, to spring about wildly or for joy. To skip, to leap, to jump. This is the description of dancing that we see especially in the Old Testament. The dancing there was always performed either alone or with members of the same gender. This idea of intimate couples dancing that's popular today, unknown in scriptures. I'll give you a quote. This is from the Zondervan Pictorial Encyclopedia. It says, while the mode of dancing is not known in detail, it is clear that men and women did not generally dance together, and there's no real evidence that they ever did. Social amusement was hardly a major purpose of dancing, and the modern method of dancing by couples is unknown. So when we see David dancing, remember how he does it. We'll look at that in just a minute. When we see the women of Shiloh dancing, when we see Miriam and the other women of Israel dancing, notice the company they're in and notice what the purpose is and what they're doing. And let's go ahead and look at some of those. Turn to Exodus 15. Let's start with Miriam and the women of Israel. They have just come through the Red Sea. They have been given victory over Pharaoh and Egypt. And here's the response. The Song of Moses has been sung there at the beginning of the chapter. This is toward the end, verse 20. Then Miriam the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took the timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. And Miriam answered them, "Sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider he has thrown into the sea." What are they doing? Obviously, they're dancing together, but what are they doing it for? They are celebrating a victory that's been given to them by God. A miraculous victory, by the way, against a great enemy that they couldn't have handled by themselves. Similarly, in Judges 21:21, you've got the women of Shiloh performing dances together. I want you to turn to 2 Samuel 6. This is one we're very familiar with. The Ark of the Covenant is being brought to Jerusalem. David is thrilled. And David expresses his joy by dancing before the Lord. But not just dancing. He dances with all his might before the Lord. This is a glorious day. Chapter 6 of 2 Samuel, verse 14. Then David danced before the Lord with all his might. He was wearing a linen ephod. So he just expressing the joy that his Lord has given to him. The ark has come to Jerusalem. Go to Psalm 149. We mentioned this actually in class this morning. I didn't necessarily mean to make a tie-in between the two, but Psalm 149, verse 3, along with these other forms of praising God, dancing is mentioned there. Verse 3, let them praise His name with a dance. Let them sing praises to Him with the timbrel and the harp. You can go over to the very next psalm, Psalm 150, verse 4. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with stringed instruments and flutes. So this was, again, a way of showing praise to God. But not all dancing that we see in the Bible was appropriate. Thinking of Exodus 32 with the golden calf. You remember Moses had gone up on the mountain. Joshua's servant had gone away from the camp as well. And they hear this sound of, it's like a party going on. The people, speaking of them, they rose up early the next day. They offered burnt offerings. They brought peace offerings. The people sat down to eat and drink, rose up to play. If you look at verse 19, it says, so it was as soon as he came near the camp, this is Moses, he saw the calf and the dancing. So Moses' anger became hot, and he cast the tablets out of his hands and broke them at the foot of the mountain. Well, they're dancing, all right. And they're even celebrating an idol. And Moses is furious. He's so angry that he breaks those tablets that God has given to them. Now, so here are instances. We've talked about some others. What about much of the dancing that occurs today? Where would it fall? Now, this is going to require discernment and judgment on your part and mine. We're going to have to look at these situations and determine these for ourselves. I am especially this morning, and I have in mind things like proms and school dances, things like that, nightclubs, those types of dancing that very often can occur. Especially dancing that would bring unmarried people into intimate embraces or is sensually stimulating to them or to those around them. That's the idea we're looking at this morning. There are simply some things Christians have no business being involved with. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 4. First Peter chapter 4, verse 3. For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles. When we walked in lewdness, we defined that earlier, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. He goes on to say, you know, people are going to think you're weird because you don't do the stuff with them that you used to do. Well, that's because you're different. You're not who you used to be. You've changed allegiances. You belong to the Lord now. As we go through these, I want us to be honest, because we can be very, very dishonest about dangerous things. I know I can. I can lie to myself. The truth is, there is a sexual element to much of the dancing that occurs in these situations that we mentioned earlier, especially couples dancing. Now, parents will sometimes vehemently deny this for whatever reason. I want my children to go because this is a rite of passage for them. I want them to go so I can get these photo opportunities. I want them to go for whatever reason. And they'll say, there's nothing wrong. There's no danger there. It's okay. Let me just be blunt for a second. You can fool others with that, but you can't fool me. I did this. I went to the school dances. I went to proms. I went to college dances. I went to dances in places that I never should have been to begin with. I'm not proud of it. And I wish to my Lord I could take it back. I can't take it back. But I can warn other people for what I saw and what I did. And that's what I want to offer for you this morning. I will tell you the honest truth. The reason that me and many of my friends went to dances was because of lasciviousness. It really was. It's the honest truth. Remember I mentioned the definition earlier, the unchaste handling of males and females? We went to dances because we were hoping for some unchaste handling of females to occur. I'm just being blunt with you. That's the truth. Now, Sasha's friend once asked her when she was in high school why she didn't go to dances. And Sasha said, well, let me ask you a question. What do you think about when you're dancing with a boy? Do you ever think about sex? And her friend blushed and looked down at the floor and looked up and said, yeah, okay, I get it now. I understand. At least she was honest, right? She was honest about what went through her mind during these times. Isn't it sad when the world is more honest about stuff than God's people? Because I think that's the case sometimes. I think as Christians, when there's things that we like and maybe we want to justify, we just won't be honest about them and the effects that they can have. So let's consider some things. Here's what the world does. One of Sasha's former students on Facebook, she posted this a couple weeks ago. She said, well, tonight's prom night. Expect a population boom in the area in about 9 months. She was joking, sort of. But with every joke, there's a basis of truth behind that. Look at these lyrics. These are songs about dancing. This is what the world says. Because the world's honest about this. Am I? From the Broadway musical Hairspray, there's a song called You Can't Stop the Beat. This is what it says. Ever since this old world began, a woman found out that if she shook it, she could shake up a man. And so I'm going to shake and shimmy it the best I can today. Shook what? Exactly. Do you think this song might imply any sexuality in the dancing that was taking place? Maybe. Are we honest? Here's one. I might make some Whitney Houston fans mad. Oh, I want to dance with somebody. I want to feel the heat with somebody. Do you think she's talking about room temperature? Or is this sensual and passionate? Be honest. 2006, Shakira came out with a song called Hips Don't Lie. I didn't put all of it on here. I know I'm on tonight. My hips don't lie. I'm starting to feel that it's right. All the attraction and the tension. She goes on to say, boy, I can see your body moving, half animal, half man. I don't really know what I'm doing, but you seem to have a plan. My will and self-restraint have come to fail now. Fail now. Is she being honest? The longer they dance together, what's happened? She had some self-restraint, but the longer they dance together like this, what happens to it? It lowers and lowers and lowers. Guys, compare that to 2 Timothy 2, verse 22. Flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness and faith and love and peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Do those two things seem remotely close to each other? The world will come out and tell you what it thinks about it because it's honest about this stuff. Am I? I want to go over some defenses that are offered for dancing, this type of dancing. Again, I'm not condemning every kind. I don't think you can. that there's some, as we mentioned earlier, that don't do this, that don't cause this. But is this a reality? It is. We can stick our head in the sand if we want to. But these are dangers, especially that our young people are facing. They are confronted. It's stuck in their faces. Let's consider some things. Again, if it provokes feelings of lust in those who have no right to those feelings, it is wrong. So here's a defense that's offered. I don't really think it's a danger. I don't think it's really a danger. A lot of parents say this. You remember Sasha's friends who admitted to having those sexual thoughts? Is it obviously a danger for some? Very, very clearly it is. I want you to consider something. I'm not trying to be rude in any way. I just want us to be honest again. The scenarios I mentioned. Here's what's going on. You've got young unmarried people with hormones raging. Don't act like it's not true. Their arms are wrapped around each other in intimate embrace. They are moving back and forth with their bodies pressed against each other with music playing. Dresses are worn that are often skin tight, low cut, and have slits up the thighs. Call me on it if I'm wrong. The dances are at night with lights dimmed. The music playing in the background is at least romantic and usually has sexual lyrics playing. What could possibly go wrong? Right? Does this look like a recipe for purity? Let me ask you a question, and I'm being a little sarcastic with this, but why dim the lights? It's already nighttime. Why would you dim the lights? Is it so you can see each other better? Well, that doesn't make any sense. Is it for the people who brought unattractive dates? Probably not. Why dim the lights? Be honest. You ask someone who coordinates dances, this is the answer they'll give you. We do it to set the mood. Exactly. What kind of mood are you setting with this? We just be honest about it. Is it a mood of maintaining purity? Are shadows and darkness a good place for the maintaining of purity? If it's pure, why in numerous schools, I'm thinking in Texas, ban dances altogether because of the type of dancing that went on there? Things to consider. Here's one that is offered as well. I don't think there's a sexual element to couples dancing. Okay. Stay with me. If you believe this, I want you to answer this question in all honesty. Why don't you see heterosexual men slow dancing together? There's no sexual element to it at all. I'm going to ask you another question with that in mind. Do you think you're ever going to see me and Chuck Childers slow dancing together? Anybody? Anybody in this room? Why are you guys laughing? Why are you laughing? Because you know it's not going to happen, right? Why not? Because if there's no sexual element at all to it, then it would be perfectly acceptable for me and Chuck to dance together like that. But you know that ain't happening. What if somebody walked in who doesn't know either one of us and they saw the two of us dancing like that? What would they immediately assume about Chuck and me? They would say, those guys are homosexuals. So obviously. Why? Because they're dancing like that together. We make whatever excuse we want to, guys. But that example shows us that there is that sexual element to that kind of dancing. Sorry, Chuck. Another excuse offered up is, well, I don't struggle with those kind of thoughts. It doesn't bother me. But others do. You remember Sasha's friend? She was honest. Remember me and my friends? I'm being honest with you. Others do. And that makes me think of Matthew 18, verses 6 through 7. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe to the world because of offenses. Offenses must come. Woe to that man by whom the offense comes. Don't do it. Don't you dare cause somebody else to stumble. It doesn't bother me. It bothers other people. I need to be honest about that and considerate of that. Here's one. Well, boys will be boys. You know how men are. Men are always thinking like that. My friend Jeffrey Hamilton had this quote, which I love. Perhaps, but do you throw matches at dynamite just because it'll explode anyway? That's a good point, isn't it? It's dangerous. Why would you mess around with that? Why would you just tempt it? Compare that to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. There's a godly attitude, a godly approach to it. It's no problem, because these dances are chaperoned. Can anybody chaperone your thoughts and your heart? Anybody in the world who can chaperone somebody else's thoughts? Matthew 15, verse 19. Out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. And here's the thing. What about after the dance on the way home? When there's nobody there to restrain the desires that started when we were dancing. What then? Chaperones don't follow you home. Just things. Honest things to consider. This next one. I just do it for the exercise. That's the only reason I go. Some of you have met my mother. My mother is a blunt woman. She was even more so when she was younger. Her sister was going through a divorce, and she was going out dancing with various men, and my mom just confronted her on it at one point. She said, "What are you doing? Why are you going to those clubs dancing with all those men?" And her sister said, "Judy, I just do it for the exercise." My mom looked at her square in the face and said, "No, you don't. You do it so you can be all up on all those other men. Do you think I'm a fool?" And her answer to my mom was, "Oh, Judy, because that's the only answer you can give. Can't we do something else to get exercise? If this is true, can't we get a Y membership or put a basketball goal up in the backyard? I mean, is this true? Or am I being deceitful about things?" And I wonder, and I'm not talking about just this topic, are there times I come up with excuses and I even convince me, and God is looking at me saying, "Do you think I'm a fool? Do you honestly think I'm going to believe that? That that's really your motivation behind this, Lance, whatever it is?" I think we do that stuff. Is that a godly approach? We know that this can easily cause others to stumble. Romans 14, verse 21. "It is good neither to eat meat nor drink wine nor do anything by which your brother stumbles or is offended or made weak." Do I just read it, or am I serious about it? You think Paul just threw that out there because he needed to fill in some space in his letter to the Romans? Or did he really, really mean it? "I'm not going to do it. If it's going to cause anybody else to stumble, I will not do it." Do I believe that? Do I do that? One last offense that comes up. "Man, they're going to make fun of me if I don't do this. I'm going to be such a weirdo." Truth is, yes, they will make fun of you. They will. Probably so. That's okay. "Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." I want you to turn to 1 Peter 4, verse 16. One other thing that Peter says here. Chasing after godliness is nothing to be ashamed of. Never has been. Verse 16, 1 Peter 4. "Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. Let him glorify God in this matter. Be glad about it." If you suffer for standing up for godly things, be glad about it. A godly young man I was talking to maybe 2 weeks ago said that somebody at work called him a prude because he stood up for something godly. And his answer to him was, "Fine, I'm a prude. But I'm just trying to serve the Lord here." Yes. Yes. Is that me? Is that really my approach to things? Or am I more concerned what everybody around me thinks about me? Or about what the Lord thinks? Here's some questions to ask. We'll close with these ideas. Simple questions. Can I participate in this thing and keep myself pure in conversation, action, and thought? Turn to 1 Timothy 5. Whatever it is, and this certainly wouldn't apply just to this topic, this is anything. Can I participate in it? And know I can keep myself pure in what is said, in what is done, and in what is thought. 1 Timothy 5, verse 22. "Do not lay hands on anyone hastily, nor share in other people's sins. Keep yourself pure." Second question. If I participate in this, will it increase or decrease my influence as a Christian on others? Matthew 5.
Verse 13.
Remember, thinking of our influence on others. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. Remember who he's talking about. It's an example describing his people. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. It gives light to all who are in the house. Am I giving light to all who are in the house? Let your light so shine before men. They may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. And then one other one. Will the atmosphere and actions at this dance increase or reduce opportunities for lust? Simple, honest questions. This require honest answers from us. I want you to think about these things. I want you to be honest about them and consider these things. You may never have thought much about them before, quite frankly. I realize not everybody might like what I've said this morning. And if you have some concerns with it, I'm not going to run away from it. I'll be standing in the back, like always. But I want you to understand it's not my intention to ruin anybody's fun. I want you to be pure. Because God wants you to be pure. I want to be pure. And if I can warn anybody from mistakes I've made, I want to do that. Now, God wants us to be pure. Wants us to be a pure example. This would include not violating others' conscience. One last set of verses here. Romans 13. Should probably end every sermon with this passage. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. Be wise in everything you do. Christians, you were bought for a heavy price. Remember that. Remember whose you are. Go ahead and get your songbooks out.